119th Psalm. Psalm 119. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. As we all know, the general scope of this particular psalm is to exalt the Word of God. The psalm contains 176 verses. In the Hebrew, each verse was a line in the poem. And these lines are grouped into eights. We see each section has 8 lines or 8 verses, which gives us 176 lines, made up of 22 stanzas corresponding with the Hebrew alphabet. Now, a stanza in poetry is a place to pause, and we have 22 stanzas in this psalm. There are 22 divisions, 8 verses in each division. This 119th psalm contains the prayers, the meditations, the testimony, the determinations or the vows of the psalmist, all concerning this book. Again, the whole idea of the psalm is to exalt this book. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening. This book. As you read the psalm, it's very evident that this book was a central part of the life and the thoughts of the psalmist. We're not told who the psalmist is, but whoever it was, he is absolutely enthralled with this book. He is greatly influenced by this book. God's people need to love this book. We ought to love to read it. We ought to love to hear it read. We ought to love to hear it declared. We ought to love just holding it, this book. Amen. Now, in these verses, there is a description of this book. In the first stanza, these first 8 verses, the psalmist uses 7 synonyms to describe this book. Notice they are law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, and judgments, all describing this book. They are describing different aspects of the one book. different aspects of the same book. Now, if you notice in these synonyms, each one is used in connection with the Lord. It is the law of the Lord in verse 1. He goes on and he speaks of His testimonies, His ways, Thy precepts, Thy statutes, Thy commandments, Thy judgments. From that, we see that this is His book. It's His book. It is God's book from beginning to end. It is His. And it takes on His character. It's like Him. There is an inseparable connection between this book and the Lord. Any child of God, and I mean any, that finds this book dull, boring, you have a serious spiritual problem. There is nothing dull about it. There is nothing boring about it. So we see it's inseparably connected with the Lord. You cannot separate this book from God or vice versa. So let's look at these descriptions of this book. It is referred to as the law of the Lord there in verse 1. 25 times in Psalm 119, it is referred to as the law. 23 times of the 25, it is said to be thy law. Thy law. 23 of the 23 times. Verse 72, it is the law of thy mouth. That gives us 24 times, and then you have the law of the Lord here in verse 1, giving us 25. It is the law, which is indicative of a direction, of instruction, of a guide to make and to keep straight. And it's God's law. So this book is God's direction. It is God's instruction. It is God's guide for life. Every now and then someone will say, the thing about life is there's no instruction manual. That's not so. This book is the instructional manual for life. The problem is, if you read it, it tells us how to live. Law is something we are to conform to. This is His law. We are to conform to this book. The law is a rule. It is a regulation. It is a requirement. And this is the law of the Lord. It is the rule of God. It is the regulation or the requirement of God. It is the rule, the regulation, the requirement of conduct. It is how we are to behave. It is teaching from God for life. That's what this book is. Teaching from God regarding life. Now in Psalm 19:7, concerning the character of the law, we read that it's perfect. It's perfect. That means it's whole. It's complete. It's sufficient. It's comprehensive. Converting the soul, Psalm 19:7. Transforming the soul. The law is perfect. Converting the soul. So this book is the law of God that God uses to mold and shape the inner man. We see also his testimonies, verse 2. You'll find the word testimonies 21 times in this 119th Psalm. You'll find one time, the singular, verse 88, it says, the testimony of thy mouth. But here in our text and throughout the psalm, it is his testimony. Or here in this verse, it's his testimonies, and then the remainder is thy testimonies. So this book is his testimony. It's God's testimony. What's a testimony? It's to bear witness. It is for the purpose of confirmation. You testify to confirm. This book is the testimony of God. That it is the declaration, the witness, the confirmation of God. Psalm 19:7, we read, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's sure. It's unwavering. It's immovable. It's unmistakable. It's reliable. This book is absolutely trustworthy. You don't question this book. You take it for what it says, and it is trustworthy. It is trustworthy. We see also, verse 3, his ways. This book is the way of God. What that means is it's a pattern that God has set forth. It's the order or method for living. This book gives us a pattern to live life. This book gives us the order of living life, the method of living life. It's God's pattern of life marked out. And we have that in this book. God's pattern for life. Marked out. And anything contrary to this book is a wrong pattern. We see also it's referred to as his precepts. Thy precepts, verse 4. 21 times you find that word precepts in the 119th Psalm. Is indicative of a general rule to regulate behavior and thought. A precept, the job of a precept is to oversee, to superintend. This book is to have a place of oversight in our life. It is to superintend in our life. What that means is it is to control. It is to manage our life. Our life is to be controlled and managed by this book. So we would do well to learn it, to know what it says. It's also referred to as thy statutes, verse 5. Statutes occurs 22 times in the psalm. It refers to a directive, a principle. Let me say this about principle. People will often say, well, give me a specific verse that says, thou shalt not do whatever. And you may not be able to find a specific verse that says that. But don't be so ignorant not to realize that the Bible is a book of principles. There are biblical principles that would condemn whatever it is that you want to talk about that may not have a direct verse, thou shalt not. There are principles. And a statute, that is what a statute is. It's principles. And these statutes serve as guidelines. But the word statutes not only means a principle or a guideline, it means a principle or a guideline that is inscribed or engraved, which conveys the idea of these principles are definite. These principles are lasting. They're for all times. They are inscribed, written rule of conduct. We read in Psalm 19 and verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. They're right. What that means is they're proper. They're always proper. Never out of season. They're correct. They're always correct. They are suitable to whatever your circumstances might be, to whatever the age might be. They are appropriate. Also in Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That is, by following the statutes, there is an inward happiness. There's an inward delight and pleasure in the directives and the principles of this book. We would do well to know what it says. It's also referred to as thy commandments, verse 6. 21 times in the plural in Psalm 119, commandments. One time in the singular, verse 96, thy commandment is exceeding broad. Thy commandment, singular, that covers all of them, is exceeding broad. It is definite, it is authoritative order. Commandment. And again, it's His commandments. It's His commandments. Which tells us that this book is not a book of suggestions. It's His commandments. Psalm 19, verse 8. It is declared that the commandment of the Lord is pure. And what that means is that it's clear. It's not diluted. It's clear. It's not mystifying. It's very plain. It's not confusing. Psalm 19:8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That is, they make us aware. Makes us aware of what's right, what's wrong. Gives discernment concerning right and wrong. So this book gives clear direction for life. You pick any area, and you will find direction for life in this book by the principles laid out. Again, very clear, in contrast to the muddled reasonings of man. Seventhly, it's referred to as His judgments, thy righteous judgments. 18 times you find that word. It's indicative of a precedence. The Bible is filled with precedences. It's a binding law. It's His judgments. It's the regulations, the orders, the verdicts of God. It's the determinations and the sanctions of God. And Psalm 19:8 says, the judgments of the Lord are true. That is, they are correct. They are accurate and righteous altogether. That is, entirely, completely, and absolutely. So this book is always dependable. Always relevant, always applicable. If you go beyond our context, and you go into the next stanza in verse 9, it's referred to as thy word. Thy word. 38 times in this 119th psalm. A word is a manifestation, the unveiling, the expression of a thought. This is the manifestation of the thoughts of God. This is the unveiling, the expression of the thoughts of God. Throughout the Bible, it is referred to as the Word. Is said to be the word of the Holy One, the word of our God, the word of His mouth, the oracles or the utterances of God. So this book is the revelation, the unveiling, the expression of the thoughts of God. You want to know what God thinks? Open this book. Most people don't want to know what God thinks. It is a manifestation and a presentation of the mind of God. I get so tired of hearing about the experts. I believe most of them are about as ignorant as they come. But this is the manifestation and presentation of the mind of God. It's the communication of God. By words we communicate. This is the communication of God. It's God's contact with us. It's God contacting us through this book. It is a message from God to us. We read in verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." That is, it's certain. It's His word, it's just as certain as He is. It's unquestionable. It's indisputable. It is undeniable. It is absolute. So again, this book is God's law. It is God's testimonies. God's ways, God's precepts, God's statutes, God's commandments, God's judgments, God's word. It is inseparably connected to God. Therefore, it is sufficient. It is authoritative. It is infallible. What a book, the Word of God. No greater book, no book that's its equal, the Word of God. So what is the response to this book? Again, it is not only inseparably connected to God, there is a link to you and I as well. Now in our text, we're to walk in verses 1 and 3. We're to do something with it. Verse 2, 4, 5, and 8, we're to keep. Verse 6, we're to respect. We're to respect God's word. We must always respect God's word. I believe we are to show respect to it the way we carry it. I don't believe you should just throw it. I believe you're to treat the book with respect. We're to learn, verse 7. Throughout the psalm, we see that this book is central in the life of the psalmist. I remember Brother Eugene Clark telling me a long time ago, if they love this book, you can preach to them anything from it. That's very true. That's very true. Then he went on to say, the problem is, there's not many that love the book. So as you read through the psalm, you see there are the prayers of the psalmist. And they all regard this book. And we'll just mention a few of them. Verse 10. He says, let me not wander from your commandments. Do not allow me, Lord, to wander from your commandments. Verse 12, verse 26, verse 64, verse 68, verse 124, verse 135. He says, teach me thy statutes. The best teacher of this book is God. There is no better teacher. Brother Hancock, every time he preached, he would pray, Lord, be our teacher. It's true. He's the one we need to learn from. To teach is to educate. Educate me in thy statutes. We hear a lot today about education, but what are you being educated in? To teach is to instruct. A word that people do not like, it's to indoctrinate. It's to train. It's to give enlightenment in thy statutes. This is what he's praying. In verse 18, he said, open thou mine eyes, that, or for this reason, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Notice it does not say that I may behold wondrous things in thy law. When you read, you bring out. We need to get beyond in His law to wondrous things out of. We need to receive it out of His law. He is saying, Lord, uncover mine eyes. Remove anything that would hinder me from discerning and grasping wondrous things out of Thy law. We ought to pray that every time we open the book. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Several times in the psalm, he prays, quicken thou me according to thy word. He knew that there was enlivening power in this book. In verse 27, something else we ought to pray every time we open this book, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Make me to understand. That is, give me insight. Cause me to perceive. Cause me to be aware. Cause me to comprehend what I'm reading. That's why the Word of God needs to be read slowly and carefully. Make me to understand. Don't be afraid of God's Word. I'm afraid there are people that are afraid to understand, because that means they would be more accountable. Make me to understand. Verse 28, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Verse 36, incline mine heart unto thy testimonies. He is praying there, Lord, bias me toward your testimonies. Influence me in that direction. Persuade my heart in that direction. Persuade my heart in the direction of this book. Cause me to prefer this book over the opinions of man. Cause me to gravitate toward this book. Toward this book. Verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant. That is a prayer for grounding in this book. Ground me in this book. Verse 133, one of my favorites. We've preached on it many times. Order my steps in thy word. Order my steps. It's not order my life. Certainly that is included. But it's order my steps. It's all the details. Walk speaks of life in general. Steps are the details. Order my steps in thy word. That is, fix my steps in thy word. As you go through the prayer, these are just some. As you go through the prayers of this psalm, you see he has a desire for this book. He desires this book to be the central part of his life. So we need to make personal examination. What are our own prayers with regard to this book? Again, it would do all of us well on occasion to examine our overall prayer life. What is it that we pray for? What is it do we most pray about? Again, if you study the prayers of Paul, they're all about spiritual things. What are our prayers with regard to this book? When we open it, do we pray? Lord, speak to me. Show me. In all these prayers that we've already mentioned, what do we pray with regard to this book? There are also in this 119th Psalm the meditations of the psalmist with regard to this book. He said in verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts. As you read through the 119th Psalm, you see some things that he meditated, some things that he thought about concerning this book. In verse 89, he said, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He's thinking, he's meditating upon the eternity of this book. He said, in verse 96, again, thy commandment is exceeding broad. He's meditating, he's thinking upon the comprehensiveness of this book, the depth of this book. We live in a day of great shallowness. Most preaching is so shallow that it's almost beyond belief. And I'm not speaking of Christendom in general. I'm talking about our kinds of churches. Very shallow. Very shallow. This is a deep book. Don't be afraid to dig. Don't be afraid to dig. There's treasures. It's comprehensive. He thought of the purity of this book. In verse 140, he said, "Thy word is very pure." He thought about that. He thought about the wonderfulness of this book. "Thy testimonies are wonderful," he said in verse 129. Just stop and think about the wonders of the Word of God. Well, many times when I read this book, I find myself thanking God that I learned how to read. I don't believe that as a child, I was taught to read in God's purpose just so I can read the newspaper. But to read this book. A lot of people need to learn how to read. I'm talking about learn how to read this book. You don't read it like any other book because it's not any other book. You read it differently. You read it differently. He gave thought to the truthfulness. Verse 151, he said, "All thy commandments are truth." He thought about that. Verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning." So again, we need to make personal examination. What are our meditations of this book? What are our thoughts of this book? How often do we meditate upon this book? And then there is the personal testimony of the psalmist regarding this book. He said in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's his testimony. Verse 14, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches." In verse 22, "I have kept thy testimonies." Verse 24, "Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors." This is his testimony concerning the Word of God. Verse 30, "I have chosen the way of truth." Verse 31, "I have stuck unto the way of truth." In verse 40, "I have longed after thy precepts." I long for them. I have a desire for the Word of God. I don't just carry it in the church. And there are people who don't even bring a Bible to church. Church members who don't even bring a Bible to church. Verse 42, "I trust in thy word." Verse 43, "I have hoped in thy judgments." Verse 47 and 48, "Thy commandments which I have loved." This is his testimony concerning the Word of God. He says in verse 54, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Been my songs. Verse 94, "I have sought thy precepts." Verse 99, "For thy testimonies are my meditation." Verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." Verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." Verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Verse 112, "I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always." Verse 127, "I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." He says, "I love it more than money." The best of money, the best of riches. Verse 128, "I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right." Verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." He experienced that. That's why he was able to say it. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law. He knew that by experience. What is our personal testimony regarding this book? Just regarding this book, how do we testify? There are the personal determinations of the psalmist concerning this book. In verse 8, he says, I will keep thy statutes. He's determined. In verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts. Verse 32, I will run. That shows eagerness. I will run in the way of thy commandments. In verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies. I will declare your word. You get into various conversations with a variety of people, and you can almost always bring in God's word into that conversation. I will speak of thy testimonies. What is our desire? What is our determination toward this book? Again, what are our prayers, our meditations, our testimony, our desires toward this book? This book needs to be a powerful, vigorous, dynamic force and influence in our lives. It ought to rule our lives. It ought to have sway in everything we think and everything we do. This book. It ought to be making a constant impression upon us. Again, a power in our lives. Is it actively, powerfully, effectively working in our lives? How blessed we are to have this book. Again, I love to read it. I love to hear it read. I love to hear it declared. I love to just hold it. I love to hold it. This book. Is it central in our lives? It should be your most prized possession. This book. It's not your most expensive possession. I mean, as far as dollar-wise goes. But it ought to be the most prized possession that you have. Whether you paid $5 for it or $100 for it. It's a prized possession. And it ought to be treated as such. It ought to be respected. We ought to respect it when we open it. We ought to respect it when we read it. We ought to respect it when we hear it read and hear it declared. We ought to respect this book. Because no matter how hard you try, you cannot separate it from God. It's His book. I'm just glad that He's allowed me to own a copy, several copies of this book. God, help us to fall more and more and more in love with God's Word. It'll enrich your life. Read it. Read it carefully. Observe every word. Don't read over words. This isn't a book written by man. Every word is important. Every word. Train our eyes to see every word. Not just to skim. Not to speed read. It's not a race. And God would show us things out of this book. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.